Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ah, yes, Monday. Monday it is. You're making rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. This is one of those great days. One of those great days to talk sports after a championship decided in the NBA. I don't want to sit here and tell you I told you so, but we told you so. We will get into everything that transpired with the Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. We will get into the future, future bets, future plays with Kevin Durant, Summer of Durant's getting traded to the Houston Rockets. Tell you what that means for the odds for next year. We'll get into whether OKC is going to be a dynasty, the Eastern Conference, and the Pacers and Haliburton for next season. It's a great time to talk baseball, bet baseball. We've got our guy Greg Peterson joining us here on Make It Rain with Adam Schein, and we are extra fired up about that. We told you to bet on the Thunder to win the finals when the season first started. Our ticket cashed. Let's go. How about it? OKC, Larry O, you bet. And if you did, alongside me, when we told you that they were going to win a championship on our Make It Rain with Adam Schein NBA preview show before the season started, when we bet the Thunder to win a championship and we bet SGA to be the regular season MVP and the finals MVP, you're having yourself a tremendous, tremendous Monday. And look, this was a great example of OKC putting the ultimate finishing touches on a true season for the ages. This was, as it turned out, a mauling in the second half. 103-91, Thunder win. Pasting of the Pacers, based upon their defense, fueled and sparked by that classic D that, to me, is just absolutely next level in terms of a defensive team for a single season. First half, and we'll get to Haliburton in a second, unfortunate for Indiana, kind of took the zip and the juice away from the game for both sides, for the announcers, for the fans. For me watching, the focus just wasn't on the actual sporting event for a while. First half took an ominous turn after that 4:33 mark of the first quarter injury, and then it was all OKC after a halftime. They mauled the Pacers 34-20 in the third. Remember, the game was actually tied at 56 with 8:32 to go in the third, and then OKC went on a 33-12 run, and it was just T.J. McConnell scoring. Literally nobody else in that time frame was able to buy a bucket. So ridiculously impressive when you take a look at what transpired. And it was just awesome here from the standpoint of having the ability to go out if you're OKC and win with defense and win with depth. And this is an all-time great single-season defensive team. And Sam Presti take a bow. This team was, you know, a 24-win team just three seasons ago. Sam Presti built this team with unbelievable moves, unbelievable trades. Last year was a great regular season. They lose in the second round. Here's Alex Caruso, who's a champion and a really excellent reserve guard. Here's Isaiah Hartenstein, taking him away from the Knicks and free agency and what he means down low and, you know, just being an incredible complementary part. And of course, when you talk about the incredible ride for these Thunder, 84 games they won in the regular season and playoffs combined, third most in the history of the NBA, behind the Warriors 2016-17, 96-97 Bulls. Set the record for the largest point differential in a single season, which stood for the last 50 years. Playoff run was unbelievable. Think about some of the moments. Game 4 of the Indiana series, Game 7 of the Denver series, the way they destroyed a piping hot Timberwolves team. A lot of smart basketball people picked Minnesota to win, and this was just incredible. Presti, unbelievable as a GM, makes the SGA trade, drafts Jalen Williams higher than a lot of draft Knicks thought, you know, drafting Chet Holmgren, who was fantastic. Lou Dort, Lou knows, Lou's unbelievable, Lou's defense, that moonball three at the beginning of the third, that was incredible. They are the deepest team in the league, and we've said that consistently all year long. And look, this single season for OKC was an all-timer. This single season for SGA was absolutely an all-timer. And you look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and what he was able to accomplish. And look, we've talked about this consistently. So we've been ahead of the curve. We picked them for MVP. Then you watch them play regular season MVP, finals MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP, leading scorer in the NBA. He had 30 points in the playoffs 15 times. 15 times. That is his third all-time behind Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. The only other players in the history of the NBA in terms of winning finals MVP and regular season MVP, I want you to listen to this list. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, Shaq, Hakeem, Magic, Moses, Kareem, Willis Reed, SGA. Legend, Hall of Famer, God, icon, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander absolutely deserves to be in that conversation. The only other players other than SGA to accomplish the triple crown of scoring champ, MVP, and NBA champ in the same season, Jordan, Shaq, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, that's what we're talking about here in terms of this awesome, amazing, rarefied air. So it was just incredible, absolutely sensational. This team deserves to be recognized as a single-season all-timer. We'll get into the Oklahoma City future, which is ridiculously bright. They're young. They're all under contract. Mark Daigneault is a superb, superb head coach. They've got 3 draft picks coming up in the draft this week, 2 in the first round. But for this single season, and think about it, you had all these, I mean, look at the VSiN lineup and the different hosts, right, who are all incredible. You had, you know, guys picking Minnesota, and you had people saying it's going to be the Clippers down the stretch of the season, and the Lakers, and the Golden State Warriors, and the Denver Nuggets, and the Houston Rockets, and all these different teams. OKC able to navigate that with this regular season and postseason with a historic defense, SGA season for the ages. Jalen Williams became Scottie Pippen-esque. This is it. I love, forget about markets. As a fan, as a media type, you shouldn't even think about that. It's unbelievable basketball, team-oriented basketball. They play as a team. They play as one. Fans in OKC are unbelievable. What a tremendous, tremendous championship here by OKC. Now, obviously, the biggest story from this game was Tyrese Haliburton suffering the torn right Achilles tendon. And it sucks. And you could see it. And it's a calf strain that he had to deal with after game 5. And we were on record, and you know I said this, and I don't say this as an I told you so, but this is the problem here. Calf strain, which when you have a 2-3 week injury for a calf strain and you play on it, you can pop your Achilles. And this is exactly what happened with Kevin Durant in the finals in 2019. This is what happened, if you remember, the offseason with Aaron Rodgers Then Aaron Rodgers, you know, popping his Achilles in 2023, 4 snaps into playing for the Jets. And I feel sick, absolutely sick. I love Tyrese Haliburton. This run was unbelievable. Legendary postseason. And he was piping hot to start the game. 3 threes in the first few minutes. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, all right, Indiana's got a real shot to win a championship and seal the deal in one of the most improbable, iconic, amazing runs in postseason history. I mean, that was the thought process. And, you know, you think about Milwaukee and Cleveland and New York and, you know, game 1 and game 3 and what transpired in game 5. And Haliburton is amazing. And to see this happen, to see him crumple to the ground like that, I was sick. And if you're a Pacer fan, if you're a Pacer bettor, if you had a Pacer ticket, you absolutely are just, it's going to be an ultimate what if here. And I feel terrible for Haliburton. And, you know, now you look at the nature of the injury. I mean, you know, let's just say it this way. And if it changes, we'll alter it. Haliburton's not going to play next year on the timing of this, right? Like, he's not going to play next year. The Pacers are now 12-1 to win the East behind Cleveland, New York, Orlando, Boston, Philly. Think about that. And you know, I would favor the Pacers over Philly, but let's see what Philly looks like. I mean, let's see if Embiid decides he wants to play. Let's see if Paul George decides he wants to play. See who they draft with the number 3 pick. I mean, you still have, obviously, Giannis in Milwaukee. Normally, if you lose a game 7 after a season of achievement and overachievement, you know, you feel, okay, we'll get him next year. It's not the case. And this is the problem. This is why team doctors exist. And I'm really, I'm just disappointed and surprised. And we said this before game six. You wonder aloud if Tyrese Halliburton was going to do damage here. And I feel so bad for him. So bad for the Pacers. Obi Toppin was inconsolable after the game. He threw that pass to Halliburton. It wasn't his fault, but, you know, obviously he will, you know, talk about that and think about that for the rest of his life. And it's just soul-sucking. I mean, what an incredible, miraculous run for Halliburton. And then I was just sick. And honestly, I couldn't focus on basketball until the second half. My entire mind was on Tyrese Halliburton and what transpired with that torn Achilles. Just awful. Absolutely awful. What a run by the Indiana Pacers this postseason. Most moneyline upsets ever in one postseason. First 50-win season that they've had since 2014. Obviously, the three playoff game winners by Halliburton, just incredible. And Rick Carlisle and these Pacers deserve to be loved, commended, appreciated, respected. And even in losing, and obviously they lose with their best player getting hurt midway through the first quarter in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, it feels like the Pacers' ride was what this postseason, in so many different ways, was all about. The Indiana Pacers were tough. They had the most wins in the Eastern Conference, second in the NBA since the calendar flipped in the regular season to 2025. I know nobody in Indiana is feeling good about anything, especially with how they lost and the ultimate what if and the Halliburton injury, and he's not going to play next year either. But wow, if anyone can kind of just take a breath for a second, just a remarkable, legendary run by the Pacers.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide drops next week. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175. For full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every single day at a special early bid bird price. Sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You're going to be first in line for our NFL betting guide. Your playbook for the season, packed with team previews and power ratings and season-long bets, plus daily best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, plus the full access to VSiN's analytics, the tools, and the pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe right now to lock in on the football special for just $175. VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Sports. You gotta love sports. And of course, right out of Central Casting from Kevin Durant, he gets traded the morning of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Like, if there was one moment for Kevin Durant to steal the spotlight, this would be it. And I'm not saying that throwing shade. I happen to love Kevin Durant. I'm a big Kevin Durant fan. I think Kevin Durant is actually misunderstood in a lot of different ways. And Kevin Durant deserves all the credit in the world for being absolutely awesome. And Kevin Durant, you knew that he was going to get traded. You knew we were going to see the summer of Durant. And here we are, and here we go, and he gets traded to the Houston Rockets, and now the Rockets are at plus 750 to win an NBA championship next year. Second best odds when you look at it for a team to win a championship and a team to win a title. So I think Kevin Durant still has a lot of gas left in the tank. I think that the deal was honestly a steal. Jalen Green, take a look at it. Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and the 10th pick this year, plus 5 second-round picks, which really don't amount to anything. This is an absolute steal here when you look at it from a standpoint of what transpired with this trade from a Houston perspective. Now, all of a sudden, when you look at it, if you're a Rockets fan or an early Rockets bettor, this team has everything that you want here with regards to a team that can go out and win a title. And they're going to have Seguin and Thompson and Freddie Van Vliet. And obviously an incredible, sensational, a tremendous, tremendous head coach in Ime Udoka. I mean, it's just remarkable when you look at Houston. A team that 1 year ago, obviously this past season, was second in the West. But look, nobody took them seriously as a team that can get the Larry O'Brien trophy. So this is perfect. The news broke when Kevin Durant was talking to our good friend, the great Kay Adams, during the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center here in New York. The news broke, fans stunned, and KD was fired up. Being part of the Houston Rockets, I'm looking forward to it. Crazy last couple of weeks, but I'm glad it's over with. And Kevin Durant got exactly what he wanted, exactly what he needed. And I think this is a difference-making situation that can help guide this team to ultimately go out and win a championship. And, you know, I think that Houston now is a million times better than they were. I don't want to hear about Durant's age at 37. This is still a player who has an amazing knack and an amazing ability, when you look at Durant, to just dominate a half-court set. And that was a problem with Houston 1 year ago. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists a game in 62 games this season. He is an absolute stud. And I firmly believe he's an all-timer. And look, he made his own mistakes, right? You know, he hitched his wagon to Kyrie Irving. That was a mistake. Picked the Nets, a nondescript irrelevant franchise. Mistake. Hit at what was a game-winning 3 against Milwaukee, game 7, second round. But he wears on purpose extra big shoes, toe on the line, lose in overtime. Milwaukee goes on to win a championship. And that really kind of doomed everything in Brooklyn. Gets traded to Phoenix. It was a complete and utter mess. I think Kevin Durant, who I always defended that move, trying to win a championship going from OKC to Golden State, I think Kevin Durant absolutely can get it done, will get it done in Houston, and I'm rooting for him. If you're a Phoenix fan, this is a terrible deal. I mean, you sold low here when you look at it from a Phoenix perspective. I mean, look at that. That's just an awful trade. And if I'm a fan when it's all said and done, if I am a fan when you look at it here of this team, when you're a Phoenix Suns fan, I'm saying you couldn't get more. I mean, you're going to give, at the end of the day, Kevin Durant what he wants. I mean, if he didn't want to go to Minnesota, but Minnesota was going to offer a better deal, or Detroit was going to offer a better deal, or New York or Golden State can offer a better deal, you make that trade. I mean, even Golden State at the deadline last year. So this is a huge win for the Rockets, huge win for Kevin Durant, and I think this is just a terrible trade for the Phoenix Suns. Awful. Absolutely, positively brutal in every possible way. So I think that Durant getting traded day of game 7 of the NBA Finals, when OKC is old team, I always thought he'd win an OKC. I thought that they would be, I always believe on this, always die on this sword. Durant and Russ should have won, obviously, in 2016. Klay goes nuts. And if, in fact, they won that game, they would have beat Cleveland. That would have been league changing and shattering if they would have won that game. Think about the impact that would have had on LeBron, Kyrie, Cleveland, LeBron's legacy. Durant would have stayed. Golden State wouldn't have won. I mean, that would have changed everything if OKC could have held on and found a way to win that series. So excellent stuff by the Houston Rockets. I'm fired up for Kevin Durant. Phoenix, that is a miserable, miserable trade. And the floodgates are now officially open here when it comes to the offseason. Draft on Wednesday, draft on Thursday, first round, second round. And next week, next Monday night, the official league year will start for real. And we can't wait for that coming up here on Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Rafael Devers and the Giants take 2 out of 3 from the Boston Red Sox. And Rafi hit his first home run as a member of the Giants, and that's pretty awesome, and able to beat Boston. He got doused with the Gatorade, and that was a ton of fun. And listen, I think Rafael Devers is awesome, and it was a terrible trade by Boston. And any Red Sox fan who was trying to spin this in any other way, I mean, look at what the Giants were able to do over the weekend, and that's going to be a harbinger of things to come. So tremendous, tremendous job by Devers. Tremendous, tremendous job here when you look at it for the Giants. Excellent stuff all the way around. And this is under the umbrella of as expected. Get used to this. Red Sox losing, Devers and the Giants winning. And they are 10 games over 500. I think they are the second most dangerous team behind LA in the National League. And I expect the Giants to make the playoffs, as simple as that, after they make this incredible trade for Rafael Devers. Shohei Ohtani, don't hate, appreciate. 18 pitches, one inning, gorgeous, dominant, scoreless inning, and for good measure, able to hit a home run. I mean, this cat is unbelievable, and always appreciate the genius here of Shohei Ohtani. 2-for-4, 5 RBI, 26 homer of the year. Unicorn material once again when it comes to Shohei Ohtani, and it's ridiculously amazing to watch. And the fact that he only throws an inning, that doesn't interrupt anything when it comes to the Dodgers, because they've had so many injuries. They oftentimes use an opener because that's who they are and that's what they do. And I think this is pretty awesome here in every possible way when you look at Ohtani and the special nature of it and the Dodgers still finding a way to win. I love what I'm seeing here. And Ohtani, by the way, monster favorite when it comes to the NL MVP. He's starting to run away with this thing. I think the only other name that's really worthy of a play is PCA. The problem with PCA is, you know, even though he's put up the numbers, Kyle Tucker, in terms of value, will probably take some of the esteem away. And it's kind of difficult at this stage, based upon offense, based upon place in the standings, based upon now pitching. I don't know how anyone else other than Shohei Ohtani would win the National League MVP. The Phillies are all alone in first place in the National League East after they were able to take 2 out of 3 from the Mets, no surprise. And get used to it. And I told you when Philly was scuffling and having a June swoon earlier this month, and they were +300 to win the division, I said, bang on the Phillies. You know, I never took the cheese here when it came to the Mets. I think they've been fraudulent. They've now lost 3 straight series. They got swept by the Rays. They got swept by the Braves. They stopped a losing streak on Friday and then lost a couple of games in Philadelphia. And this is what we expect from the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, get used to seeing Philadelphia at the top of this division. And by the way, you know, I'm not even ruling out Atlanta making a run here and finding a way to eventually leapfrog the New York Mets. So Mets Braves going to start a series at Citi Field starting tonight. Kyle Schwarber able to hit another bomb. This guy is absolutely majestic to watch. Love watching his stroke. Love watching him break that sweet lefty swing. Harper will get healthy. The Philadelphia Phillies are alive and they're well. And I am absolutely obsessed with what they did this weekend against the Mets.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code RAIN. Deposit $25. EdgeBoost is going to match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. My guy, Greg Peterson, the critically acclaimed host of the Baseball Betting Show and Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. Nobody better when it comes to betting baseball. Greg, how are you, my friend?
Adam, I am doing great, and now it is the time of year for baseball. The NBA Finals was absolutely tremendous, but now we've got ourselves a lot of baseball before we get to football, and it's oh so glorious. Great to be on with you. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I love baseball. You know that I do. I love watching baseball. I love talking baseball. I love betting baseball. So we are on the exact same page. And it has been a tremendous, tremendous baseball season. And we just talked Phillies and Mets and the Mets' June swoon. And hey, it doesn't get any easier with the Braves coming to town. Boy, I do not have any good vibes here when it comes to the New York Mets now. And frankly, Greg, big picture, what are you looking at for the Mets and the Braves at Citi Field tonight?
I think the big thing for the Mets is they're going to need to buy something at the trade deadline. And you know that Steve Cohen is going to be a buyer at the trade deadline. That's one thing that you feel good about. But in terms of this game, I bet the Atlanta Braves very early on. This opened up more around a minus 125 or so. Now that you're getting to a minus 148, I do think that you're getting to a little bit of a point of no return. I still wouldn't want to take a shot on the Mets until you get like north of plus 130 or so. But if you're still looking to fade the Mets, what I'm really looking to fade here is Paul Blackburn. Because with Paul Blackburn, just never really been a pitcher that I've had too much confidence in. A career 4.91 ERA. And keep in mind, his home ballpark for a lot of years was Oakland, where it's about as pitcher-friendly as it gets. He's made four appearances this year, north of a 6.90 ERA. And for Spencer Schwalbach, he's had a few ups and downs this year, but overall it's been solid. Right around about a 3.30 ERA, fielding dependent in line with that. He gives up fewer than two walks per nine innings, keeps things out in front of him. The one place where the Mets have a little bit of an advantage is the bullpen, but they might be using a whole bunch of bullpen pieces with the way that Paul Blackburn has not really went deep into games. And I mean, for the Mets, they still have quite a few boppers in that lineup, Juan Soto and company, but for the Atlanta Braves, if you look at the overall season-long offensive numbers, they're a little bit warped because they didn't have Ronald Acuna Jr. in the fold for so long. He's already got 8 home runs in less than a month back with the team, north of 450 on base. He really elevates his team. Wouldn't be feeling too comfortable laying north of a minus 135 here. I think that's gone just a little bit out of range, but I do like that over if you're looking to fade the Mets.
How about Reds-Yankees? And this one interests me greatly. You know, the Yankees take a series at Yankee Stadium against a bad Baltimore team. And by the way, I'm not saying that to throw shade. That's how you get out of a funk. You beat teams you're supposed to beat. And there were a lot of good things that happened for the Yankees. I also think, and this interests me greatly, because I think Cincy has a real shot to win this game. I kind of like the pitching matchup. I also think, and I used to hate interleague play. This is an example of how interleague play works, right? We could go back to 70s baseball, Yankees, you know, now making the rounds and going to a Midwest team that obviously has, you know, a lot of roots in history and Major League Baseball. This is cool in the summertime, in the middle of June. I think the joint's going to be jumping tonight in Cincinnati. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Reds win on the money line, a plus 104.
The one thing I will say is Alan Winans, who's getting the start for the Yankees, he has been superb at the minor league level. If you look at his first two stints at the big league level, he got two cups of coffee at the big league level for the Atlanta Braves, made 8 career starts, 7.20 ERA. Absolutely terrible. Not great. Now, if you look at what he's been able to do over there with the AAA affiliate for the New York Yankees, he's allowed one home run in 50 innings with a 0.90 ERA. Now, I recognize that it's AAA baseball, but his strikeout numbers are way up. It feels like they've really found something, and I've got a lot more faith in him rather than someone like a Will Warren who they've been trotting out there for starts all season long. And for Nicolò Dolo, he has experienced a career low in terms of strikeouts per nine rate, albeit his walks per nine, is that's down to about 2, so that helps him out a little bit, but other than Ellie De La Cruz, I just don't necessarily feel great about this Reds lineup as well. Like the likes of TJ Friedel, Gavin Lux, they're able to move the line, but Ellie De La Cruz is really that main constant for them and for the Yankees. I feel like they're starting to figure out a bit of something, though they have scored 4 runs or fewer in 8 out of their last 9 games. I'm seeing this total of 10. I know that they call it Great American Small Park for a reason, but the Reds are actually scoring fewer runs per game when they're at home rather than on the road. I feel like this 10 is too high. I like the under, and I do like Winans to get the job done here. I think that he's got something to prove.
Yeah, it's interesting. First of all, I hope you're right. Second of all, the under, I think, is a really, really solid play. I hate to say it, or maybe I'm just watching my team too much. Maybe I'm ahead of the curve, but I do think Cincinnati could scratch out a win tonight. I'll be rooting against my play. Mariners-Twins interest me tonight, Greg. What are you looking for in that one?
For the Twins, it has been a funk for them. Boy, they have lost, I believe now, 8 out of their last 9 games. They got completely lambasted by the Milwaukee Brewers. I actually think that this is a good spot here because you've got a Seattle Mariners team that they were essentially playing in a AAA PCL ballpark over the weekend, because in Wrigley Field, it was as hot as all gets. Wind was blowing out. everything was flying out. Cal Raleigh, big dumper, is now on pace for 66 home runs this year. Like, that's how good Cal Raleigh's been. I mean, if you wanted someone to knock off Aaron Judge perhaps for MVP, if Cal Raleigh wins 66 home runs, it's hard to deny that guy the award. But that said, I think that this is going to be a little bit of a dose of reality here for the Seattle Mariners. And Bailey Ober has always throughout his career been a little bit better at home rather than on the road. He has had a rough season, posting up north of 4.4 ERA, giving up a little bit north of 1.3 home runs per nine innings. This is still a Twins bullpen that, even though they've been funky over the last month or so, you still have the top guys like Yoan Duran. You still have a Danny Kloom who've been able to give you a sub-3 ERA to be able to get the job done. And Byron Buxton, while a lot of the team has struggled, he's been very good. He's starting to find that power once again. So at plus money at home, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Twins on the money line. Here at the St. F, again, I think that this is going to be rough for Seattle, going from about as hitter-friendly of a ballpark as it gets to Minnesota. I like that under.
Yeah, that's a good play. I think the under makes a lot of sense. You gave a lot of good nuggets and a lot of good facts on that one. And I am fascinated, as I said to you, to see ultimately how that one goes tonight. Cubs-Cardinals interest me. And look, I don't put Cubs-Cardinals on the level of Giants-Dodgers or Yankees-Red Sox, but I think Cubs-Cardinals always has a lot of juice and a lot of sizzle. I like it even better in St. Louis, where I think it's even more feisty. I'll tell you what, though. I wouldn't be surprised, especially at minus 114, to see the Cubbies go on the road tonight, Greg, and get a dub.
I do think that both of these pitchers are going to give you a good start. If you look at both of their ERAs, they're north of four, so you're thinking, these aren't necessarily great pitchers. But Ben Brown has been tremendous in terms of his swing and miss stuff. He's getting darn near 11 strikeouts per nine innings. He's really not allowing the deep ball either, only allowing one home run per nine innings. And this is a Cardinals team that is in the bottom seven in the big leagues in terms of home runs out of prep at bases. Wilson Contreras, Nolan Arenado, both have 10 home runs apiece to lead the way. But, I mean, these guys aren't what they have been in the past. But I do have a little bit of a fear, just like I do with the Seattle Mariners, transitioning from as good of a hitter's ballpark as it gets, with Wrigley being as hot as it was, with the wind blowing out. I mean, you saw totals of 10.5, 11.5, and 12.5 all fly over, that this is going to be a little bit of a dose of reality for them. You've got a Cardinals bullpen that I think is going to improve as the season goes along, as Ryan Helsley has been a bit inconsistent as a closer. But I'm just in on Matthew Liberatore. Liberatore, 0.9 home runs allowed per nine innings, less than 1.5 walks per nine innings, has had a little bit of a rough patch, 4+ runs allowed in 3 of his last 4 starts, and this is a Cubs lineup that is right there at the top of the big leagues with the LA Dodgers in terms of runs per game. I think that he goes out there, lends a relatively good start. I do think that, again, that transition going from Chicago to St. Louis going to be rough for the Cubs in game one. I like them overall for the series, but I think that the Cardinals here in game number one on Monday have a chance to be able to get the job done. Set them as a slight favorite. So I do like the Cardinals and that under.
All right, one more quickly, Rangers Orioles. You know, Patrick Corbin grew up in Syracuse, and his dad used to drive him to Little League practice listening to my radio show. My first job out of college. So I always have a soft spot for Patrick Corbin. And then, you know, he started just getting bombed left and right, and I just keep betting against him. Hasn't been dreadful this year. Could we see a Patty Corbin dub on the money line tonight, Greg, at plus 108?
With the Texas Rangers currently in the bottom five of the big leagues in terms of runs per game, even if he does deliver, I am not sure. So I would rather take the Orioles here. But what I do like is that 9.5 under, because both of these teams have had a tough time scoring. And as we know, Baltimore over the last few years has been a little bit more pitcher friendly. So looking a bit more at the under, and at minus 120 for or better, would look at the Orioles.
Greg, you are the absolute best, my friend. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Always appreciate it. Thank you.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yes, there's a new sports betting market in town. It's called Xcuta. It is spelled X, C-U-T-T-A. And Xcuta is a sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of the live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew for any sports or sporting events. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, players, drivers, and the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions now running daily. 3, 6, 9 p.m. xcutter.com. For a 3 months free bidding subscription, email support at xcutter.com. Mention VSiN. Xcutter, the future of sports wagering. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time for our news, notes, nuggets, and our nightly plays. And how about LSU winning the College World Series? Congrats to those who had a futures ticket for LSU Tigers winning the College World Series like we did. We told you they were going to win. We bet that they were going to win. And this was absolutely incredible. And how about LSU taking care of business this weekend, knocking off previously unbeaten Coastal Carolina ace Jacob Morrison and knocked them out of the game with that four-run fourth inning. Tigers win their second national title in 3 years. Just absolutely incredible when you look at what Coach Johnson and that program able to do. Just amazing. 53-15 on the season. Completed the best 2 out of 3 two-game sweep of Coastal Carolina, who entered the finals on that 26-game winning streak. And we spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks on how to play Coastal, how to bet Coastal. They made it farther than I anticipated. What a tremendous season. By the way, the big talking point from that game, in addition to the betting, and if you had a Coastal Carolina ticket, I would have been beyond angry about this. The fact that the home plate umpire threw the manager for Coastal Carolina out of the game, Kevin Schnall, that is a disgrace for arguing balls and strikes. First of all, it was nothing aggressive or over the top. Second of all, the whole thing was embarrassing. I mean, it's a World Series game. Your team had just been on this legendary winning streak. You're facing LSU. You're on the brink of elimination. Just let the managers talk. There was nothing egregious, nothing over the top. Turn a blind eye, deaf ear. That was awful. Absolutely, positively awful in every possible way. A terrible, terrible job here. A terrible, terrible job by the umpires who ruined that for any Coastal Carolina fan, for their manager, and for anyone who bet on the team. Keegan Bradley won the Travelers in dramatic fashion, rallying from 3-shot deficit, 4 holes to play, with that 9-iron to 6 feet for birdie in the final hole, winning his second a big championship and big title in 10 months, and denying Tommy Fleetwood from his first ever PGA Tour win. Fleetwood had it, and he blew it. I mean, that was awful. And now Bradley has more wins in the last year than any American except Scotty. And he's number 9 in the Ryder Cup standings, a career best, number 7 in the world in terms of the ranking. And if you had a ticket for Keegan Bradley to win, everyone always loves the Travelers. That was absolutely incredible stuff. So now that the Thunder won a championship, the next question is going to be, can the Thunder repeat? And I think it's important to kind of do this internally and then externally. First of all, when you take a look at the Thunder and what they have, right? The draft is this week. They pick twice in the first round, 15 and 24, which means they could take the best players available, add to their already amazing best in the NBA depth. They could take 15 and 24 and move up in the first round. They also have pick number 44. They are the second youngest team in NBA history to win a title. Every single player's under contract for next year. Could have up to 4 firsts the following season. SGA is only 27. Jalen Williams only 24. Chet's only 23. And Sam Presti and Mark Daigneault know exactly what they're doing. And I do think, well, eventually SGA will get paid. Jalen Williams too. The chemistry, the likability, the camaraderie with these guys is noteworthy. So I'm not saying that at some point Jalen Williams won't say, get me the most money. But there is something to be said for where they're playing, how they're playing, what they're able to do. Now, last 7 years, we've had 7 different winners in the NBA. And I personally think that that's great. You know, and there have been a couple of these in moment that you take the cheese on. you know, Boston winning last year. I'm like, all right, all they got to do is win one and they're going to win multiple. That wasn't the case this year. And we didn't even pick it. You know, frankly, what derailed that, in my opinion, before anything else, was what happened with the Olympics and with White and Tatum and Brown. And there was already garbage and nonsense going into the season for Boston, which is why I picked New York to represent the Eastern Conference before the season started. So that's, you know, certainly something there. And we expected Giannis to be in position to win another one. That has not been the case. We thought Denver with Jokic could win another one. But I do think in terms of star, defense, surrounding talent, executive, with the mind and the brain of Sam Presti, yes, the Thunder absolutely can repeat or be better than any of these teams, from the Warriors to the Raptors to the Lakers to the aforementioned squads who have wanted. It's kind of a great time in the NBA in that regard. Now, if it's not going to be the Thunder, I think that looking at the Rockets makes a lot of sense. I also think this is a very early conversation. If you're asking me to place a bet on someone who's not OKC, that answer would be Kevin Durant and the Rockets for all the reasons we talked about earlier in the show. Now, I think the Magic have a great opportunity to win the East. You know, the Cavs are the best team, but they now have something to prove. You know, I took the cheese on Cleveland last year. I thought, you know, basically the vast majority of the season they would win the Eastern Conference. How they lost, and now Donovan Mitchell's inability to get out of the second round, going back to even the Utah days, that remains and seems ridiculously problematic here. Minnesota, I think, is a decent bet. But look at all these teams from the West, right? If you're a Thunder, Rockets, Timberwolves, Lakers, Nuggets, and I'll throw Clippers or Warriors fan in the mix. Seven teams, seven players, groups of players, coaches, GMs, fan bases will enter next year thinking we're going to win the Western Conference. Let's also see what the Spurs are able to do, you know, among other teams as well. So I will answer it by saying OKC is a great opportunity to repeat. I think, you know, let's see who the Knicks next coach is. In theory, my Knicks should be able to be in this conversation. But I think on the board, the two best bets, and I'm still going to pay a lot of attention to the Lakers if they get a center, someone who can protect the rim. I think that the Rockets and the Magic are actually, in terms of the juice factor, the best bets that are on the board for who's going to win a championship next. Mavs lead assistant Sean Sweeney is joining the Spurs. This feels like something. By the way, Sean Sweeney happens to have a great relationship with Giannis Antetokounmpo. For what it's worth today, I think, especially when you look at all the injuries in the Eastern Conference, if I'm the Bucks, I would never trade Giannis with the injury with Tatum, with the injury with Halliburton. At this stage, if he wants out, I wouldn't do it. But I do think that's noted in terms of Giannis. Also, you know, is Jason Kidd going to coach the Knicks? Just saying, he just lost his lead assistant. I'm not ruling that out here as a possibility when you look at it for New York. The Panthers held their championship parade yesterday. Will they achieve a three-peed? Listen, I think that they are the odds-on favorite. I think the most important thing to this equation is what happens with Connor McDavid, which means either, because I think he's either going to play McDavid for the Oilers or the Maple Leafs, means the best bets on this board are either the Oilers at plus 700 or the Maple Leafs at 20-1. Best bets brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet in Visa, all you got to do is open up a GBank Visa signature credit card. First 90 days deposit, play through $1,000. First bet, trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through through October the 31st. Visa.com/GBank, Visa.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Let's go with the Cubs. Cubs on the money line, minus 111, taking on the Cards. That'll be our best bet for tonight. Right after us, it's Follow the Money. Mitch and Paulie on a well-deserved vacation. Matty Humans, you gotta love sports, and Mike Palm will be your tour guide. Thanks to the guys in Vegas, our incredible producer, Mike Cohen. Talk to you mañana. Make it rain. With Adam Shine.